B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Yeah.
Like he was skipping it across the lake. Came in low.
Which is really sad.
Well, first off, if you perform in the playoffs, you'll also cash in.
Yeah.
Help get your team to the playoffs, maybe.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah,
think about how much playoff experience you could have at Nelson Agholor already with a Super Bowl ring. Like, if you go out and perform again in the playoffs, where it's, look, he performed well in the Super Bowl.
Go have four.
Go do it again.
Yeah, go have 300-yard games and three touchdowns the final three games of the year. That'll help your value a lot, Nelson.
Yeah, I'm going to track the ball a little bit.
Yeah, look, I think him and Alshon are just completely checked out on Wednesday.
That's what it seems like, but Alshon most likely is going to be here.
Most likely, yeah. Unless they do the Antonio Brown where they pay him, they take a $26 million hit to say goodbye. I can't believe he's that big of a cancer.
I think it does affect the relationship between him and Carson. And if it's that bad, you go ahead and cut bait. Because you only want guys that are going to go out there and give you everything they have for Carson. And if you cannot come back with another locker room like you did this year where you're going to have stories being leaked to Josina Anderson or whatever. So whatever little parts you need to cut out of that locker room, that's what you're going to have to do this season. And if it's going to cost you some money, all right.
Yeah, because you'd rather it cost you money and him not be around and causing strife in the locker room than cost you money and him just giving you, what, decent play on the field? He's not a difference maker. Like, it's not... I agree with Trey. I think, and Jamie, I hear what you're saying, but I think I would cut the money, take my losses, and if this is what it appears to be to us... I think you got to cut your losses.
610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Just give people a heads up, we're having a little issue with our phone lines. However, we're able to call out, which is a good thing.
Just send your name in and we'll try to reach out.
Send us your name and number, we'll call you. So...
That's a great radio promotion.
Yeah.
We'll call you. Have your take ready.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. But like I said, we were able to call out. So we are talking right now to our good friend Adam Schefter, and he's brought to us by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective is rothmanspine.com. Good morning, Schefty.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing excellent, sir. Doing excellent. Eagles save their season with a win over the Giants. It's still probably all going to come down to the Week 16 matchup with the Redskins. But first things first, I have to ask you about some of the injuries. What have you heard about Alshon Jeffrey and Lane Johnson?
Well, it doesn't look good in Alshon. You saw it go down right away. It is a foot, and I would imagine that we're not going to see him again during the regular season. I have not heard a definitive word. I think that they were still getting more medical opinions, but we'll wait to see on that. And you saw Lane Johnson get a leg whipped there. My guess would be he misses a little time. Tough guy. We'll see how soon he can get back.
All right. Schefty, the other thing is, I know we talked about this a little bit last week when it came to those third and fourth wide receivers on the roster. Eagles actually went into this game with only three active wide receivers after Nelson Agholor was not ready to go at game time. Do you see them adding anybody else? They added Mark and Michelle last week to the practice squad. Do you see them making any other acquisition, possibly, again, that Jordan Matthews fella?
You know, again, this is what you're down to at this point in the season. It's a difficult thing to do, right? Like, who are you going to go hire at this point in time? Who are you going to go trade for? You can't trade for anybody. You can't. There's nobody off the street that you're going to sign that's going to be able to really help out. It's a tough situation. It's not a simple thing. And we go from there. So I think they're where they're at, and I think they have to rely on their tight ends and their running backs to catch passes, and the wide receivers just not going to get it done.
Adam, the other part of this is we have seen the wide receiver position, the guys that have been on the field, struggle, whether that be Mac Hollins, whether that be Nelson Agholor, whether that even be, at times be Alshon Jeffrey. And then we see a guy like Greg Ward come out and show you that he wants to make a play. He's made some plays for this team. He made a great play towards the goal line to set up the game-winning touchdown in overtime. How often do you see it in the NFL where the politics really play into who's playing in terms of you've invested more in a second-round pick or a third-round pick or an offseason acquisition, and you're not really looking at the practice squad guys to come in and help you now?
Well, listen, I think that every time you've got different motives from different people, right? Like sometimes the front office has ideas and sometimes the coaching staff has ideas. And The best organizations are the ones that are on the same page. Inevitably, there's not always going to be agreement. Not always.
Sure.
Usually, they're on the same page, and you'd like to think that'll be the case.
What's the list? The other thing is, a lot of people, and I'm surprised by this a little bit, the name Antonio Brown has started to pop up more and more. How do you see all that really playing out, if anything, this season and the next year?
Well, look, I don't anticipate that Antonio Brown's going to play football again this season. I mean, the NFL has got an ongoing investigation that they're clearly moving very slowly on and very deliberately on for a reason. Now, he would say that he's done nothing wrong and that he has not broken any laws and that he should be allowed to play right away. And his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, continues to maintain that he has interest from teams, that he's going to have a chance to play. I don't see Antonio Brown playing this season, and I don't see the Eagles being one of those teams that would be interested in him based on their prior behavior. They've not gone after players who have been involved in those types of incidents. If they were to do that this time, it would go against what they've done in the past. That's not to say it can't happen, but they have not shown any tendencies to go after people who have been involved in off-the-field incidents like Antonio Brown. So, again, we'll see how that shakes out, but I don't believe we'll see Antonio Brown play football again this season.
All right, easy enough. Speaking with Adam Schefter from ESPN, the other story that came out on a more national stage is what's going on with the Patriots right now, where supposedly they were filming the sidelines of a Bengals game, and it was supposed to be for a documentary, but of course, anytime the Patriots are caught with a camera filming anything on a football field that's not in their own stadium, there's some issues. So what are you making right now of the latest with the Patriots?
Listen, they continue to insist. Look, let me say this. There are a lot of different vantage points and viewpoints to this, right? The Bengals believe that the Patriots were doing that, taping their coaches' signals. The Patriots insist, Bill Belichick openly, that they weren't doing that. Now, the team acknowledged that something happened in the statement on Monday night that it released. And what I guess it believes happened is that this video crew, which is an independent a film crew from Kraft Sports, not the Patriots organization, that was doing a feature on this advanced scout, was shooting this feature. And that they shot into the sidelines. The Bengals maintained that they were filming the signals. The Patriots insist they weren't, but they did admit that they were doing things that they shouldn't have. I think the bottom line is the tape is in the hands of the league. And the league gets to look at that tape and make a determination about whether anything unjust happened, right? And if it did, they'll discipline them. And if they don't, then they won't. So that's the deal.
Shefty, I was labeled a Scrooge yesterday after the Eagles won, and I came in here saying, I'm sorry, they're just a bad football team. And you were there up front and personal on Monday night. I really am interested in your observations looking at this Eagles team that you saw on Monday night up close and what you think is going on there.
Yeah, it was a very disappointing first half. I mean, they did not show a lot of energy, life, talent. And I think when you're playing for the division, you play like that, it's very disappointing to see a team play like that. And Boo Birds were out. And then they rallied in the second half, and they played better, and they did what they should have. And I don't think it's any great accomplishment to go beat a 2-11 New York Giants team to cling to your hopes of winning the division. And it doesn't really matter all that much how they played that night, right? They've got three games here to go win the division, to try to find a spark to turn this thing around. They haven't shown so far that they can do that. They just haven't.
Yeah.
Now, maybe down the stretch, the last three games, something will change, a light will go on. But I can't say that anybody who's watched the team has any reason to be optimistic that it will, right? I mean, have you seen anything that would tell you, boy, this team is ready to make an extended playoff push?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
No. I mean, they're playing to win the division. That means something. You never know. And I think that's the hope in sports, right? Like, you never know when all of a sudden, a team is going to get a little momentum going, a little mojo going, and start moving that forward. This team hasn't shown that it can do that so far. It just hasn't. Now, maybe something will change in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. besides the lack of energy, the life, the talent that you said, Shifty, was there one thing that you looked at and you kind of came away? Because I always have a tendency to do this when I go to any games. I come away saying, wow, that's different than I thought. Is there anything with the Eagles? Maybe it's Carson. Maybe it's something else that you thought, wow, that's not as good as I thought it was or better than you thought it was.
I guess I was surprised to watch that first half unfold and see the way they played. Now, again, it was a miserable night. It was wet and windy and sneaky cold, as I said to the guys on our set. Like, you know, Ben was at 55 degrees. No, it wasn't 55 degrees. I'm telling you that right now. It was sneaky cold. But, you know, rough conditions and they just didn't look good. They don't look like a winning team to me. They just don't look like a winning team so far. Now, again, three games to turn around, three games to win the East, three games to make a push, three games to try to get it right for the playoffs if they can make it that far. But what we've seen so far, they have not looked like a winning team.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, switch to NBA Adam now for a second, because Joel Embiid actually smiled on a basketball court for the first time since the second week of the season. People, he said after the game that his fun is being cut out. That makes you think that somebody else is telling him to calm it down a little bit, don't you think?
His fun is being cut out.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, again, I would ask Bob that question before me, but what I would say just from my perspective, from the outside, not knowing anything, is I would say that his antics were going on too much, I thought. Like, there was just too much non-basketball stuff for a while. And I'm all for him having fun. That's who he is, and he should have fun. But it should have been toned down a little bit. Now, I don't know who delivered that message or what that exact message was, but I guess my message to him, and I'm in no place to give him, it would have been something like, there's a time and a place for everything. We want you to have fun, but let's make sure we do it at the right time. Like, pretty simple, right?
Easy enough. Yeah. We believe he's moped since, but it was good to see him smile on the court for the first time in a while.
Who do we think said something, and what do we think that message was?
My thought was, Shefty, that Elton Brand, after he got into the fight with Karl Anthony Towns and then subsequently put a whole bunch of stuff on Twitter, mm-hmm. I think Elton Brand went to him and said, look, that has to stop. It cost you an extra suspension, an extra game being suspended. And I think Embiid took it more of, oh, I'm not allowed to have fun anymore. I think he did the mopey kid thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that wouldn't be a surprise, and that's a plausible explanation. But, I mean, he's got to understand that, there's a time and a place for that, right? There's a time and a place for whatever he wants to do, but let's make sure it's the right time and the right place.
Adam Schefter, always great catching up with you, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. We spoke to both Adam Schefter and NBA Adam Schefter.
He's the man. Versatile.
All fast. It's just not baseball. So I didn't ask him about Didi Gregorius. Does not like baseball. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll revisit some of the stuff from Doug Peterson yesterday, as well as get back into the conversation with Joel Embiid. And something that I'm still trying to wrap my head around, how much the addition of Didi Gregorius, how much of that that addition affects the rest of the dominoes on that infield. Time at the Fanatic is 8:12.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Some people are hitting us up on social media, on Twitch, whatever it might be. They're pissed they can't call in because they're having an issue with their phone lines. Like, we can only call out.
Are we getting phone numbers?
So we have gotten some. Yes. People have hit up Jamie saying, hey, here's my number. Call me. I want to get my take.
All right, there we go.
We are going to cold calling? No, it's not. They know we're calling. Well, no, some of them might not know we're calling.
Yeah, they don't know when we're calling.
They don't know when. They could be putting the kids in the car.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, they could be in the drop-off line at school. And they're like, have your take ready. We will solicit people's takes. We will cold call callers.
Yes!
I guess we're the caller in this case.
Yeah, we're the caller. Yeah.
So I think the first thing we should say is, hey, thanks for having us on. For us, this is our first time, long time. That's pretty much what this is.
Yeah. It is.
Amazing. Yeah. Happy holidays, everyone.
All right, let's call someone.
You want to do it right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's fire away. Who's the first person we want to reach out to?
Our good friend Dustin.
Our good friend Dustin. Okay. Now, this is legal because they said, yeah, you can call us anytime. That's how this worked.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, all right.
No, it's whatever. It's
legal schmeagle, right?
Yeah, we're fine. This is radio history, ladies and gentlemen. This has never been done before. Where we're reaching out to the good people. I wish we just had like the dialing. Oh,
we can't dial.
I think we've lost our ability to dial.
All right. So much for making radio history. Damn it! I just had my hopes up.
We got Adam on.
We just called Adam.
I know.
Let's try.
I'll try again.
You know what? I think the phone lines went down after our Die Hard not being a Christmas movie conversation.
Oh, is that what it was? Somebody sabotaged it?
We threw the world off its axis.
Okay.
That's basically what happened.
Bruce Willis got a hold of our phone line.
Here's the thing there, Trey. Uh-huh. We want Joel Embiid to be happy-go-lucky.
Yes.
We want him to have fun. But perhaps after the game last night, the person that was down on him the most was Charles Barkley. It's not working.
Nope, we're done.
We're done. Surrender, white flag. So Charles Barkley, we've been referencing this all night, but here's the quote from Charles Barkley. Joel Embiid, he's the toughest player in the league to match up with. When you talk about him and you talk about the way he can impose his will, you look at guys like Doncic, you look at guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, James Harden. We don't ever say that about Joel Embiid. It's frustrating to me because I picked the Sixers to get to the finals. They ain't got no chance.
Hmm.
That's Charles Barkley talking about the 76ers and Joel Embiid after a 22-point, 10-rebound performance, 6 assists, 4 turnovers against a guy like Joker, who, you know, is a pretty good matchup, you know, in terms of struggle. You know, maybe if you see him not even get 20 points, you go, well, you know, it was a good matchup, whatever it might be. But, yeah, you see him matched up against Plumlee late in that game, and you're thinking he can't impose his will?
Yeah. Hmm.
On Plumlee? Like, seriously? So Charles Barkley is calling out Joel Embiid for a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about, especially this season. I hate talking about a switch for an athlete, but Joel Embiid seems to be that guy where he needs a quarter put in sometimes to see him go to that next level. Mm-hmm. And Bob, you pointed it out, the 26 points, 21 rebounds, and yeah, we're looking at him during the game going like, wow, he could have been even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I only needed one more point.
You only needed one more point, yes.
Nah,
but when is Joel Embiid, when's the last time you saw JoJo take over a game? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
And that's what they're talking about when they talk, like for guys like Luka Doncic, for guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Anthony Davis, James Harden, you don't ever look at those guys and be like, well, I wonder what they'll give tonight. No, you can expect that same type, if not the same stat line, you can expect that same type of effort every single night where they are bringing it in games. And what Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal were getting into was more or less that switch that Joel Embiid seems to have, and you don't know which one you're getting.
Because you can see the mindset at times isn't there. You know, when you go in and you look at Anthony Davis, you look at the Greek Freak. I'm not going to even try his name. But when you
do
go,
it, Trey. Do it.
No.
It's terrifying. The last name is terrifying.
Yeah, I don't. Because I destroy people's names.
So many vowels.
Yeah, so many. So, so you don't see the mindset at times that you see in those guys where they just like, look, I'm coming to take over this game. No one is going to stop me. Here I am right down the middle dunking on everybody. I mean, you know, they just have a different type of look in their eye. Mm. At times when you look at Joel's game, it just seems like it's, you know, I'm talented, but I don't want to destroy you. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
I don't see that. Whoever's in front of me, look out.
I hear you, and it's aggravating as hell. Look, we talked about the start. I think Jamie and I were talking about this today. Do you ever see LeBron James not come out to start a game running downhill?
No.
LeBron James, James Harden, any of those guys, Anthony Davis, Giannis Antetokounmpo, never. And these guys come, boom, full head of steam. Joel Embiid might win an opening tap and walk down the floor. And look, is it a minute thing? Probably. Maybe not. to a defender seeing, oh, here he comes. Like, all right, that's what he's bringing tonight?
Yeah. Mindset, though, is everything as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have all the talent in the world, but if you're not deciding to, again, use the word impose it, then what good are you?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I mean, for a decision to be made, nah, I'm not going to be as good as I could be today. Like, that's insane to me. Like, for instance, talk about another player, not just Embiid, but Ben Simmons. We see how great he can be, and it seems like he chooses to defer a lot of times, and that's where you'll see some of his turnovers. He had another instance last night, I believe it was in the fourth quarter, Bob, where he's dribbling through the lane, and he jumps up, and he had a layup, and he threw it out of bounds.
Yeah.
He was trying to get the ball to somebody else. I think it was Matisse Thybulle on the wing, and he just threw it out of bounds.
Yep.
And I'm going, no, the basket was right there.
Yeah.
You put in the work. You dribbled the length of the court. You got to the basket, and you opted to force a pass to no one. And it's a mindset with him. Just finish strong. I don't think Brett Brown gave him a tough task. 8 free throws a game. 1 three-point attempt. 0 three-point attempts since that statement, and I don't even know if he's gotten even like 6 free throws in the 2 games. He didn't even go to the free throw line the other night.
No.
Did he even go last night? I'm trying to remember. Like, it's wild to me to look at him for that small order that was put on.
I know he went at least early with the foul. Look it up, but I know he went.
But how did you put on a small ask like that of Ben Simmons, and mentally he just says, no, I'm good to go. So when you look at these two players, you're looking at it and you're going, I know that there's a much better version, and that's what Barkley and Shaq were both talking about.
6-7 from the line.
Ben Simmons last night?
Oh, Ben, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Joel. He was 1-for-4.
Okay, so 4 foul shots.
Yeah.
So that's half. I think that's 4 foul shots in the 2 games he's played since Brett Brown issued the challenge.
He went 9-of-12 against Cleveland in that blowout.
That was great.
And then against Toronto, doesn't attempt 1 free throw. And then last night, the 1-for-4.
Look, if the people that are holding, and we're all doing it, honestly, this year, Brett Brown needs to make sure that this message is getting through to these players, that the switch, that can't exist. You're either going to play the guy or you're not going to play the guy. He's either going to play 100% or he's not going to play 100%. If it has to be load management, then fine. Manage the load. Make it happen.
Yeah, right.
But whatever it might be, I'm tired of seeing these guys have that option of whether or not they're going to turn it on or not. Like a game against the Jazz that is a comeback game, a bounce back game after the last time you played them, after blowing that lead in the fourth quarter. Yeah, you better go out and make a point. And look, they won 13 in a row at home. They're starting out the season like that. That's incredible. But when you see your superstars think of playing at a high level as optional, it doesn't really make you feel great about guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, guys like Anthony Davis, and guys like James Harden that Barkley pointed out that really don't have that switch. It's just, I'm on the court. Guess what? It's go time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you just see too many extremes. Like where you go back, where you have the Cavs where Ben came out and scored 34 points, was extremely aggressive. The team ended up putting up 141 points. And then you come back and you have this game last night and you finish with 7.
Yeah.
How do you have that big of extremes that, you know, when you have most of the other guys, like even with Embiid, where he'll have 0 points, then you come back and have 31 and then 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me that is mindset instead of just saying, look, I'm coming out here to dominate and I'm going to get mine.
The only thing that, look, I don't like how they approach it, Trey, and you haven't liked it all year, and I think we've been on the same page there. The only thing that I didn't like or didn't agree with Charles Barkley was the fact that he's not with the Sixers. Like, he picked them to go to the finals, and right now he's saying they ain't got no chance.
Hmm.
That's the only thing.
Sounds to me like somebody that laid a wager on the Sixers to win it all.
Barkley, bet? What? No way. But that's what it sounded like after the game. And quite frankly, that's what he pointed out, that he picked the Sixers to be in the finals, but as long as the Bucks are in the Eastern Conference, he doesn't see them getting past it. Now,
won
looking 15
forward. 15 in a row.
What's that?
The Bucks have won 15 in a row.
Yeah.
What the hell?
21-3.
And even if Giannis struggles, and he always does from beyond the arc, even if he's struggling, he'll still let it fly.
Yeah.
He'll still make the attempt.
And it does not look pretty at all.
It's ugly. it's a Markel Fultz level ugly is what it is. But he still does it. And every once in a while, you know what he does? He hits it.
Yeah.
I hate the idea of it being an option for these players to play the game the way they play it sometimes. And for them to win 13 in a row at home is great. Seeing guys like Matisse Thybulle come along this year is great. It is that question in the back of your mind where you have that proverbial switch and you have the option of whether or not you want to flip it. 610-632-0975. I don't even know why I'm giving that number out. By the way, somebody did hit us up. I believe it was Joe on on Twitter right now, and he left out the great line. I said first time, long time. He said if we call people, remember, we have to turn our radio down. That was well played. Well played, Joe. Appreciate you. This is what I wanted to get into because the baseball world had a little stir yesterday.
Woo!
And Didi Gregorius comes to the Phillies. Now, Jamie, this has been your guy. You've been banging the drum. I know he's been out there. A lot of people have mentioned him.
I think it's been a lock for weeks.
I honestly
think Joe Girardi has had eyes for him, and Joe Girardi has been given some carte blanche within that organization, and rightfully so. Our phones are ringing?
What the hell?
What was that?
Oh, my God.
But there's a number. Great signing.
Tell him we'll call him back. Anyway.
He's clearly gambling on himself, taking a one-year deal for $14 million. He believes he's going to exceed that, I think, in big ways. And I think he's going to as well. I'm really excited about it.
If there's one thing that I'm thrilled about, it's that it's a one-year deal.
Yeah.
It's a bet
there's
on,
no bad one-year deals in
baseball. I think he's still getting a $3 million raise from last year. Mm-hmm. I think he was only making about 11 last year. Now he's making about 14.
He had the hardest job in perhaps all of sports in taking over for Derek Jeter in pinstripes.
Mm-hmm.
And Yankees fans love this guy.
And the other thing that I really love about it is all throughout the next manager process, the manager, you know, interviewing different managers after Gabe Kapler, the whole time I said I wanted a partner for the front office. If you weren't going to move on from Matt Klentak, if you weren't going to move on from Andy McPhail, I wanted them to have a partner in the dugout. Not somebody that was happy to have their first job as a manager like Gabe Kapler, but somebody that, you know, when they speak, they carry some weight. Their words carry weight. They have some clout about them. This move, getting Didi Gregorius, is proven. That proves the fact that Joe Girardi has pull because they went out and basically got his guy. And that guy, Jamie, I think you're hitting the nail right on the head. He's not here without Joe Girardi.
No, no way at all.
It's an upgraded shortstop. That I'm happy about that. Anytime you get better, I'm happy.
And Reds, I believe, were teams that were after him pretty hard as well.
Yeah.
But Joe Girardi got it done.
Well, he was originally with the Reds before he was with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, and then the Diamondbacks and then the Yanks.
Yeah. But he goes over there. And here comes to Philly right now, which is great. It's good to see. It's an upgrade, no doubt. But then the domino effect.
I think we all agree on the domino effect.
What we were talking about earlier is now, instead of Scott Kingery, a second baseman, listen to this, Trey, a second baseman playing second base. Instead of doing that, you're going to have your second baseman go from second base to shortstop to outfield, back to short, and now to third. Now he's your third baseman. Didi Gregorius comes in as your shortstop. Defensively, it is an upgrade. But now you're most likely, while he's here with the full no-trade clause, Gene Segura is going to take over second base responsibilities. So Scott Kingery, who made a couple of decent plays at third base last year when they had him there, still is not a good third baseman. The one credit I will give him in every position they have put him in since second base, whether that be short or center or even at third, you saw him start to get better at that position. Not gold glove standard or anything like that, but as time goes on, he does improve. And the best example of that probably is the shortstop position. Because second baseman, you're not there for range. Like center field, yeah, you're there because you can run, and he can certainly do that. But if you can play shortstop, you can play anywhere on the field. So if I'm going to have any bit of confidence in Scott Kingery, it's not just that he has gotten better at every other position they put him at. It's that he even got better at shortstop. And if you can play shortstop, you can play third.
Yeah, I don't know why he struggles at third, though. I don't know if his arm's not good enough. Of all the positions he's played, left, center, short, third, second, I think third is his worst.
I agree.
And I said earlier, I don't know, guys. I can't have... I need a bopper at third base. And, you know, Michael Franco, he was what he was. But I think if you leave him in there, he's going to get you 25 and 70. I need that kind of a guy at third base. I can't have a, you know, all right, Kingery maybe will get you 20. Maybe. I don't know. I think you need a bopper there, and Kingery's your backup.
I feel like they got something big up their sleeve.
Yeah, still.
Do you really?
I don't think it's necessarily going to be a free agent. I think
you're thinking Donaldson.
That's a possibility. I think that's a good emergency plan if you're looking for a bridge to Bohm. Chris Bryant is a name that really intrigues me and I think intrigues the front office as well. But that might require taking on a Jason Hayward, which is, you know, it gets pipe dreamish.
You're what, $6 million short of the
Rendon? You know, like, it's a possibility, but I think they're going to have something up their sleeve with a trade for third base.
Okay,
I don't think they can go into a season with Kingery at third.
Since the World Series, I've been hearing it's. I've always said Rendon.
I've said Rendon too, and I think people say Rendon. I don't know. Who cares? I just hope he's a Philly.
It took me so long to say Franco, and now they're not going to call him Rendon. Rendon.
I think it's Rendon. I go with Rendon. That's what my gut says.
I do. I put some stank on it.
I'll have to look up Joe Rendon. Buck. Yeah.
It's Rendon.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Come on now. I know what else. You know what?
I don't think they're going to get him, but man, over the last 3 years in baseball, it's him and Mike Trout are the only guys with a above average 6 WAR every year.
And he also kills the Phillies.
Yeah.
I know you could say he killed everybody last year, but it seems like he always kills the Phillies.
I just feel like they have something up their sleeve for third base. I don't know what it is. Part of me thinks they're going to try real hard for Chris Bryant.
Hey, look, make something happen. But when you go up and down that lineup,
but if you think about that infield, if you pulled a Chris Bryant off.
Yeah, it's
Chris
insane.
Bryant, Didi, Segura, possibly. You might have to trade him to get him. Or Kingery and Reese.
Yeah.
You got some boppers, man.
Yeah, but think about that for a second. And Corey Simon put out the possible lineup that the Phillies could roll out there next year. And it makes you marvel. It really does. You're talking about McCutchen, Didi, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Segura, Kingery, and Hazley as your center fielder. The name that, like, even the name that is the biggest question mark still is Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
If he doesn't make things go as your cleanup hitter,
he might be the key to all of it.
As far as I'm concerned, he is.
And I wouldn't be stunned if they tried to trade him. I just think his trade value is at an all time low right now, so why try? But yeah, he might be the key to everything.
All right. Now, coming up in a minute, I want to get back into what Doug Peterson was saying yesterday about Carson Wentz and whether or not it was the best performance of his career. That's what he said. Career, Trey.
The best.
So we'll jump into that. We got Robert in Washington Township supposedly on the line. I'll wait to talk to him before I believe it. We got open lines after that, 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 840.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This ain't no Run DMC. Bring that one back. Got me tapping my toes over here. 610-632-0975. Coming up, let's hear from Doug Peterson. I feel bad talking over Christmas music. I know it's holiday wishes, and I remember we did this last year. I feel bad because it's music everybody knows, and they want to sing to it.
I enjoy Christmas music.
The Cougar? You a big fan of the Cougar doing Christmas?
John Cougar Mellencamp? Nah. Men's and men's, I guess. 610-632.
You don't like John Cougar Mellencamp?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with it.
I don't mind him.
I don't know who he is.
I saw him. I was at a Final Four in Indianapolis one time, and he did a concert. Not bad.
Is that the parrot fella? That's not the parrot fella, right?
No.
Where's the parrot fella?
The parrot guy.
Is it on his shoulder?
Buffett? Buffett. Yeah.
Oh. You get Jimmy Buffett? Oh, wow. And then role reversal. You get Jimmy Buffett and John Cougar Mellencamp confused?
Like if they sat next to each other and they're wearing this, like they're both wearing tuxedos, I would have no idea who's who.
Wow.
But Jimmy Buffett, I'd be able to tell because he'd have a parrot with him and he'd be wearing the Hawaiian shirt.
That's right, he would.
Yeah. He carries a parrot with him all the time?
Allegedly.
Huh.
I know that people bring sand to his concerts and have beach parties in the tailgate area.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, that happens.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give this a whirl. Robert, Washington Township. What's up, Robert?
Hey, Mark, can you hear me?
Oh, we got him! What's going on, Robert?
Not much. Hey, listen, so I was listening to you be critical earlier of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, you know, with some of the plays they made, and I thought, what about Mark Frazetta's game?
Yeah.
So earlier you mentioned that the game that's going to make the difference, that's going to be the deciding factor for the Eagles, was against the Redskins.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. And then you
Cowboys.
Said that we have to bounce
I said
back.
They have the Cowboys.
You said the Redskins. And then you said we have to bounce back and have a better game against Utah, and I believe he played Denver last night. So I think hearing those two things, I think
maybe I did say that.
Yeah. Fumble! You know what I mean?
You feel good, Robert? You feeling good about yourself?
And you know what? Everything all right? Your game better. You got to get your game better, Mark.
Yeah. Do I not call myself an idiot almost every day and admit that?
I do too, so. Have a nice holiday. I was thank you for letting me go. I called right in. And Bob Cooney, I'll see you at Ots.
You got it.
Oh, that's nice. Robert, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Yeah. I don't think, but like any criticism, like look, well, any criticism,
be better,
like,
Mark. Feel good, be better.
I don't understand. Oh, I don't give. I don't care.
You be better. I do. I care for you. That bothers
thank
me.
Thank you, Bob. You're I appreciate welcome. That. But oh, I think every see the reason I don't get all bent out of shape about the Charles Barkley stuff is because we have said almost everything that he said, with the exception of not believing this team can come out of the Eastern Conference. Mm. I still believe this team, and really ultimately what it's going to come down to is how they're playing at the end of the year and how well everyone's playing and how well, you know, injuries obviously are a big factor in everything. So I just want to see how they're playing more so at the end of the year, but I still believe they're there with the Bucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to make sure I want them to prove it coming up on December 25th when we're all, you know, hanging out Christmas, having ourselves a good time, turning the TV on and hopefully watching them take care of business against those Bucks. That'll be the ultimate test. We've talked about the test earlier in the season where they beat the Celtics. They were able to beat the Raptors the other night. We need those tests to continue, and hopefully they're able to do that. You know, in Miami's not going to be a great order either for them. I mean, yeah. Miami's played very well at
Jimmy
home.
Jimmy Butler had another triple-double last night, 18 rebounds, 10 assists, 20 points, I think. Big test for the Sixers tomorrow in Boston, yeah.
They got to go up to Boston tomorrow. Jeez, yeah. That game snuck up on me. Yeah, that's happening already.
8 o'clock.
It's unreal what this team has to do and the test that they're going to have in the not-too-distant future. I still look at the Bucks game as the one that is circled because that is the team that looks like that. They look like the team that is to beat in the Eastern Conference. And that's what a lot of people are going to be looking at going, all right, well, you know, if this team is going to be as elite as they were predicted to be at the start of the season, if they loaded up to be able to get past teams like the Celtics and the Raptors, and the Bucks, most people look at that Bucks as the number one opponent, and you know why. What, 15 in a row now? That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, 21-3.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I do want to remind people about this. They play Washington on Sunday. The Eagles do. We have organized a little road trip for our Fanatic listeners.
Road trip!
Are you going to go on this, Trey?
Say what now?
No, you got to stay home, right? You
got pregame duties.
You got pregame responsibilities. Right. You know what? Just call in. You're fine. I'm sure a phone
call from the bus doing a keg stand.
We are organizing.
We need a lot of guys to get try up on a keg stand.
We are organizing a Fanatic road trip, ladies and gentlemen. Fanatic fleet ready to go on a road trip. And this Friday, this week, this Friday, you can listen to the Fanatic all day long, starting with us in the morning, then Anthony Gargano with the Anthony Gargano Show, then the Mike Missinelli Show for the road trip sounder. When you hear it, and you call the contest line, you could win a trip to D.C., to beautiful, gorgeous Landover, Maryland, to see the Eagles take care of business against Washington. Transportation on the charter bus is included in this. You also get an awesome tailgate with food by Cavs Catering. Unlimited drinks. Always worried when I say that. And tickets to the game itself, of course. You get the unreal experience all provided by the wonderful people of PhillySportsTrips.com. That's PhillySportsTrips.com. Also a great place to visit and website to visit for an amazing holiday gift. Jamie, you were just down in Miami with these people?
Yeah, Vince and Bob, the guys that own the company, do a great job on the road trips. I'm sure it's going to be a blast on Sunday. I really hope the hype comes back.
All I'm asking
the
for...
The playoffs are right there. Let's go. Come
that was,
on.
That was unintentional, but that was a Mora playoffs if I ever heard
playoffs?
One.
Playoffs?
Yeah, that was a Mora playoffs if I ever heard one. It was a Jim Mora playoffs. But when you look at this game, here's my request. Obviously, win. All right? Win and then go and take care of business against the Cowboys. But obviously, you can't look past this game. Win this game. Here's my request. Win a convincing game. When was the last time you could really look at the Eagles and go, ah, a convincing victory? Weren't sweating it out even a little bit.
Have they had one this year?
No.
Well, the Jets.
The Jets game. Oh, right.
Right. Okay. Right.
They did the one time they did what they were exactly what they were supposed to do. They did that. Okay? The first game of the season against the Redskins. But even that, early struggles.
Yeah.
And then they turned it on the second half.
Mm-hmm.
What's the convincing win? The Packers game at Green Bay, at Lambeau. They won, but it wasn't convincing. It came down to Craig James coming off to play his first defensive non-special team snap. and he broke up a pass.
Packers should have won that game.
Yeah. With all the opportunities they had in the red zone and at the goal line at the end of the first half and at the end of the game. Yeah, a little bit. So I would like to see them raise their game just a little bit. So when does it come in where they actually have that convincing game? And I know they're going to be down Lane Johnson most likely. They're most likely going to be done with Alshon Jeffrey for the rest of the year. That's all but confirmed. So I want to see those other guys step up and win that convincing. Can you beat a team, Trey, like the Redskins? And we'll get into trench talk tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The game's on Sunday, obviously. Coming off that short week, we'll go a little bit later today or this week with trench talk. But when you look at a team like this with some guys that have a lot to prove, like Greg Ward, Josh Perkins, if he gets opportunities to play, more of Boston Scott, can they go take care of business against a team like the Redskins?
Are we going to need them to? You know, we're going to need them to, because Carson needs whoever wants to be out there on that field, guys that want to go out there and make plays, and the guys that he can trust. Because right now, all of this, right, building up to this week is about, all right, guys, this is where I need you to be, building up the trust there. All right, let's go. And it's a short week for you, which can help sometimes, because now it takes all the thinking out of it. You just go ahead and go play ball.
Well, when it comes to a short week, how short is it really?
Well, because you played on Monday, so then you have... Yeah, it's really not... just because you played on Monday, then you have Tuesday off. Do you even have Tuesday? Yeah, you got to get a day off. So then you right back at it Wednesday. You probably come in Tuesday, watch film, and then Wednesday you have your practice, regular practice routine. But still, you know, it just how your body feels, the recovery of
right.
it, the soreness and everything else, that usually throws you off a little bit.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.